Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
I'm going to be speaking a message today titled Wake Up Sleeper. Wake Up Sleeper. Wake up. So if you fall asleep, I'm going to shout really loud and say, wake up. But I'm going to start talking about Jonah. And, you know, we all know the story, hopefully, probably. If you're very new to church and reading the Bible, you may not know it yet. But Jonah was, basically running away from what God was speaking to him, what God wanted him to do. And he said, I want you to go to this town and speak to them and tell them my words because they're not living right. And Jonah's like, hey, you know what? The problem is, I know that you're a forgiving God. I know you're a good God. And I think that you're going to forgive them and you're not going to destroy them like I want you to destroy them. And you're going to forgive them and I don't want to do it. So he hopped on the first boat out of town. Literally. He did. He hopped on the first boat out of town, bought the ticket, said, I'm going the opposite direction. I'm going to go this way, God. You're going to forgive this people and just, I'm out of here. So he jumps on this boat, running away from God. And then, of course, you know, it's God. So God starts to send a storm and he's like, listen, you're not going to get away from my will that easily. And we can try. But he's still there. And in verse 5, Jonah 1:5, it says, then the mariners were afraid because the storm is coming. They're on the ship. It's getting bad. And every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had laid down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise! Call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. So it's not only did he jump on the first boat out of town to run away and is like disobeying what God is asking him to do, but then, you know, he is so calm and confident in his own actions that he just goes and falls asleep. He's like, yeah, you guys got the boat good. I'm going downstairs. I'm going to sleep. Just lay down here and I'm fine. And just like that, you know, it's like to think about, like you literally just argued and disobeyed God and you went down and fell asleep. I mean, he must have been confident with himself, you know, like I'm just not going to do it. And went and fell asleep in the boat. So they came down. What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. The sad truth, really, is we say, oh, man, that story. Now, you know, there's a whole lot more to that story. But in this part here is what I want to pull out is, like, man, that Jonah. Man, that guy just running the opposite direction. He's like, you know, God spoke something, but he's just out of here, and he's going, and he fell asleep, wasn't listening to God, but can any of us relate to this story? See, the sad thing is that many Christians, lots of Christians, are at best halfway awake. We're not fully awake and aware and seeking the full understanding of what God wants to do in our lives, or let's say he's been in, like this case, obeying what God is speaking to us, disobeying, and then being so confident with ourselves that we sleep just fine at night. just fine. And we think, well, no, I know God, and I read my Bible, and, you know, things are good. But really, a lot of the times, and I talk to myself, too, in this, okay? Because, like, I'm not sharing anything that I don't deal with myself. I just don't do it. I'm not going to tell you something I haven't gone through. I'm not going to tell you something that I don't have to consciously think about all the time. This isn't, like, one of those places. But so much we are just halfway awake. You know, we go, and I'm really bad at this. Like, you know, when things get going and moving, and then I get, like, tunnel vision and tunnel focus, then it could be like, you know, nothing else is going. And so all of a sudden, I'm awake to one thing, but it may not be God's thing. Or maybe on the other side of it, I get, you know, I can work real hard, but I can rest real hard too, you know? Sometimes I'm just like, I'm out, I'm checked out, I'm gone. You can knock on the door. I'm not sure if anybody's going to be home because I'm just worn out, you know? Anybody like that? There's a lot going on. There usually is. You know, it's funny because Pastor Tori and I is like, you know, we'll go through a week and we're like, well, you know, it's just been a stressful week. It's just been whatever. And we're like, we say this every week. Like, is it that there's never, like, there's not just a regular, just lazy week hardly ever, right? But either we're focused and not on the right thing, or maybe we're just checked out because we're a little too overstressed or whatever, but God is I believe, calling his church and saying, what do you mean, sleeper? What are you doing? Like, wake up! See the storm around. Like, if you really, with me, dive down into this scripture, it's just so funny. We're on a ship, and there's a storm. And it's usually the case. But we can relate this story directly to our world today. I sleep good at night. Well, great. That's fine. But what does God want? And there's a storm going on around you, and it might even be your fault. That one's a little deep, a little too, maybe a little too much. But I don't think it's mostly our fault all the time. But I'm just saying, like, listen, even if it isn't our fault, we could be the one to calm the storm. Not us calming the storm, him calming the storm, but our obedience to him calming the storm. Man, wake up, sleeper. C.S. Lewis, and this is from the Chronicles of Narnia. There's a quote, and I love C.S. Lewis, because I love just storytelling. But the way that he laid out this picture, and in Narnia you have what is the real world and what is this other world that these kids go to. But I love it because the thing is they think that their world is the real world, right? The one that they were in first, the one that they grew up in. But when they went through the wardrobe into this other world, it was this picture of the spiritual world, this good God and evil. And he says, think of yourself just as a seed patiently waiting in the earth, waiting to come up a flower in the gardener's good time, up into the real world. He's talking about through the wardrobe here. Up into the real world. The real waking. I suppose that our whole present life, looked back on from there, will seem only a drowsy half-waking. We are here in the land of dreams, but the cock crow is coming. He's saying, listen, this other world through the wardrobe, this spiritual world, it's like, it may seem like it's this dream world, but the reality is that our past life was really only a half being awake. A halfway being awake to the real world, the spiritual world, the world that God is wanting us to be awake to. Yeah. And when we come to know Christ, that this reality of the Spirit gets awakened in each one of us, and of course that happens, but I think it's so interesting that it is still so difficult. And I like difficult things, and I know it's frustrating for some people, even for Tori. I'm like, let's see how hard something can be. Let's do this. But there needs to be hardship, or there needs to be something pushing back in order to grow stronger. So once we are awakened to His Spirit, once He is in us, it doesn't mean that everything just goes away. And that there's no pressure, that there's no thing to learn, there's no reason to grow. But no, there still is. But it's amazing because then we can grow stronger in Him. We can know more of who He is. We can push forward. Wake up, sleeper. And in Ephesians 5, and I believe here that it's relating back to what was said in Jonah. And it says, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Wake up. Wake up. And you know what's interesting, like starting to study like this in this phrase, like wake up or awake, there are so many scriptures that say this. And I'm not even going to tell you all of them. But there's a theme about waking up or being awake to who God is and His Spirit or what He is speaking, what He wants for us, His light. It says, and Christ will give you light. God's light shines in our hearts. It illuminates our hearts. It's Him in us that illuminates the darkness. See, where the light is, darkness can't be there. 2 Corinthians 4:6, it says, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of knowledge and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See, it's God who commanded that light to shine. And it's saying, and then He shines it into our hearts, into our life, to illuminate us, to allow us to understand who He is. There's nothing that we could do. It's not that I did something great or you. It's just that He did something great and His light shines in our life. Then we can be awake to who He is. Then we can become fully alive. Wake up. Wake up, sleeper. In Romans 13, just before the scripture I'm going to read, it talks about the law, and it says, don't lust, don't covet, don't steal, and love one another. And he's saying, talking about the law and all these things. And of course, Christ came and fulfilled the law. But those principles still come into our life through Christ. Those commandments come into our life through Christ, and even greater. And then in Romans 13:11, it says, and do this, And do this. Don't steal. Don't covet. Don't commit adultery. And you better love one another. Love your neighbor. And do this knowing the time. That now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. It is high time to wake up out of our sleep. And it's interesting, knowing the time. And a lot we can say, man, I can see all this stuff going on in my world around me. And it's like, man, this time that we are living in, this time. But what are we doing about it? What does that make us feel? Or how does that change us? What is our reaction? Whenever we can look out and say, man, this time we're living in. And in this scripture it says, and do this. Obey these commandments. And not only that, because you know what time it is. It's high time to wake up out of our sleep. Yeah. It's high time to just get up, stop walking around all groggy. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. And all dazed and confused and walking around like who knows what you did the night before. But wake up, sleeper, and walk with Christ to see what he has. Do we think that this is a time to be sleeping? You know, it's funny because we're like, oh, no, it's not, you know? And Jonah knew that too. He knew that too. But I think that in this message, my hope is just that we ask ourselves the question. You're like, well, no, I'm not sleeping. I mean, I'm awake. Like, my eyes are open. But that's not what I'm talking about. Is our spirit awake? Our heart and our soul, is it awake to who God is and what he wants? Is it on fire with love and compassion and wanting to share who he is? Because you know what time it is? It's high time to wake up out of your sleep. If you didn't know that, I'm telling you now, so. Verse 12 is the why and the how. It says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Saying, it's like, look, you know, it's like you've slept. It's like 9 o'clock. I want to sleep till 12. Can I get at least till noon? No. The night's far spent. The night's far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Why? Because the day is at hand. The night's far spent. We've been sleeping long enough. I feel God saying that. We've been sleeping long enough. It's time to wake up, sleeper. The day is at hand. When's God going to do something? When is he going to? And he's like, you know, you can't hear that. You know, I feel like it's like whenever I try to wake up my teenagers. You know? Like, it is time to get up. It doesn't matter what time it is. They always act like it's 6 o'clock in the morning. It could be 11:30 or noon. They're like, ugh! Just like 30 more minutes. I'm like, I gave you like 5 extra hours. You know? And is God doing that with us? We're like, ugh. You know? And he's like, oh my goodness. You know how long that you've been, man. How long has the church been asleep? How long has his people been asleep? When are we going to wake up? I'm not saying the church hasn't ever done anything. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that we need to hear this message, really, no matter when we live, when, what time, or what's going on. We need to hear this message. Are we going to wake up? God's saying, wake up, sleeper. Cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. His light is an armor. His light is an armor. See, because when his light is here, light casts out darkness. When light is there, darkness can't come. It's a shield, it's an armor for the darkness that wants to come. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, and not in strife and envy. You know, I think, you know, a couple of those things were like, oh, yeah, you know, lewdness, check. That's, I'm not here. Lust, maybe not here. We get to strife and envy. Walk properly as in the day. How you do that? Don't walk in lewdness or lust and even strife and envy. Don't let that be a part of your life. If the light is there, those things shouldn't be able to stay. Verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Make no provision. And so many times, again, speaking to myself here also, we say, you know, I don't do those things, or I don't seek out to do those things, but sometimes it just, you know, it just comes or it just happens. And even if we're talking about envy or strife, you know, it just happens and I don't even know how. And in this scripture, it says putting on Christ and make no provision. What does that mean? It means we're providing a place for something. Like, you didn't make that happen. You didn't want that to happen. But the problem is you provided like a landing pad for it to happen. You know? I didn't want to get in a fight with that person. Well, no, but you posted that thing on Facebook. Don't get me started. Man. I watched this documentary. Tori's laughing because she knew I was going to say it, I bet. Very interesting. I'll just give you the name of it and then move on. But it's called The Social Dilemma. You should find it and watch it. Okay, that's all I got. The Social Dilemma. Make no provision. We have to be so much putting on the armor of Christ, walking in who he is, his light shining in us, that we don't even make provision for a place. Like, that doesn't mean that we don't speak truth. That doesn't mean that we don't believe strongly in who God is or what he believes who he is, what he wants us to do, any of those things. But whenever I am walking so much, or you are walking so much in him, wrapped up in him, it's a shield. His light is a shield for us. Then whenever Whenever somebody comes against us or you, me, or whoever and says something, I've placed no landing pad. There's no provision for me to even get mad at them. Because the only thing that I can do is love them. That doesn't mean what they said is true about me or you. It doesn't mean that they are right and I am wrong. It means that provision is not placed for me to even get out in a space for strife or anger or envy, because what they said doesn't matter is what God said matters. And going back to Ephesians, I'm going to read from verse 8 to 14. For you were once darkness. You were once darkness. Let's not skip past that or sugarcoat that. We were once darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. But now, because of him, you are light. The light shines in you. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. See, the light exposes not mine, not me, but him and his light exposes darkness. But rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. His light makes manifest. His light in us illuminates the darkness. Are we awake? And he says, therefore, it said, awake, sleeper. Or as it was said to Jonah, what do you mean, sleeper? You know, I love the way it says it in Jonah, because it's like God coming in. It's like, what? Like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking being asleep? What were you thinking whenever you overslept? You know, that's what I say to my kids. It's like, what made you think that you could? There's things to do. You got school, you got work, or whatever. Like, wake up, oh sleeper. But this is a clear warning, I believe, to the church. To God's people. You're once darkness, but you're not in darkness anymore. That's not who you are. You're in the light because his light made manifest the darkness in you. Then he is here. Darkness can't be in here. His light is an armor. It's a shield for darkness as long as you're awake. As long as you're awake and that light is shining. As long as there's not provision made for those things to happen. And then we are able to share that light with the darkness around us, with the world around us, with things that are not right around us, with... Say, oh, there's so much darkness. Why don't you go out there and put the light there? It's so much stuff going on. Step out in the middle of it and see the light brighten all that darkness out there. Because these things are exposed with the light of who Christ is. Just reminds me of that little song. Anybody been like the whole service thinking, this little light of mine? Anybody? Nobody? Well, nobody wants to admit it, I guess. I'm going to let it shine. Do we think it's time to put a bushel over the light that Christ is in us? Do we think that it's time? And of course, we're going to say, oh, no, it's not time. I'm not going to put a bushel over my light. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. But the point is that sometimes we're just half awake and we don't realize that we're walking around like zombies, like groggy, drowsy little lights, you know? It's like when one of those candles, you know, gets down too far and there's no wax around it to keep the wick lit. And it's just like, pff, 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 pff. It's like, is there a light? No, maybe, and then it just goes out. You know, we would say like, no, I'm not going to put a bushel around it. But are we asking ourselves the question, are we awake? Are we allowing the light of who Christ is to, first of all, disperse the darkness, anything in us, so that that light can be used to disperse the darkness in our workplace, in our city, in our world, that we can walk, get up, walk out into the world, and the world is bright, and there's daylight. The light is shining because God is there, because He's with us. Amen. Would you stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.